Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
We're very much like the Gronk and friend of...
we're in love.
We're in love. We just don't want to admit it to ourselves.
Gronk is the... Even the name is undignified. Honk, honk.
Honk, honk, honk.
He just disgusts me. I'm sure in real life, I just wouldn't get along with him.
Yes.
I wouldn't have that strong an opinion of him. I imagine living next door to him is a trial.
Yeah. Yeah. Noisy. Very noisy.
Hey, what are they crying about, man? It's 2:30 in the fucking morning, you pig. Hey, don't have a cow, man.
I'm trying to sort of look because I never check out what is happening on this day that the actual show comes out. Now, this show's going to be coming out on the 29th of July. We've just enjoyed World Hepatitis Day.
Mm.
And it's now...
Hepatitis has had a tough couple of years, hasn't it?
Yes.
No one paying attention.
No one talks about it. I think it might be Chartered Accountants Day as well.
Nice!
So there you go. Quite boring, really.
Yeah, both of those are quite good wrestling characters. You could be a chartered accountant, but I'd be interested to see a wrestler called Hepatitis.
Yes.
Rather than see wrestlers with hepatitis.
Hepatitis O'Neill. Was he a wrestler?
He's one of the nicer guys.
Yes.
I'm surprised there's not been a wrestler called something like Hepatitis. There is a Spanish or Mexican wrestler called Virus.
Virus.
But I like that a lot. I like it when they go a little bit superhero.
Yes.
Evil superhero.
Any news on the Kevin Hart? Not Kevin Hart. It's a guy. Kevin Nash, his COVID-19 film.
No, it's gone a bit quiet.
It's gone a bit quiet, hasn't it?
So we're going to be talking a little bit later about the Iron Sheik Massacres, which is another film that was supposed to come out a couple of years ago, made by a wrestler, in this case, John Morrison. That is also very quiet.
Oh, very quiet.
Which is a shame, because they both sound like dog dirt. And I would like to watch them.
And tomorrow it's Alicia Fox's birthday.
Oh, is it? I think she's probably much older than you'd imagine.
1986.
So that'll be mid-30s.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a lot younger than I am.
Cody Rhodes tomorrow as well. And Terry Funk. Cody Rhodes and Terry Funk share a birthday.
Oh, looks like, I was going to say like he was celebrating with someone's mum on his birthday, but that's not how pregnancy works. Unless, I'm not even going to go into the ins and outs, but it would be possible. You'd need Tupperware and a fridge.
There'd be ins and outs. Oh, one of the things I noticed in the last match we didn't talk about is some edits
in the
thing. Someone jumps off, one of the Kabukis.
Zakari Sane.
I think it's Sane. Jumps off top rope or top turnbuckle. Anyway, and they're about to hit a three count, and he goes, one,
oh,
two.
Yes.
And there's a really long period, and then she jumps and does it, and it's like, oh, that was... But why couldn't they have fixed that?
This is the bad thing, actually, about them saying, we can have these in advance, is because they then have them for a week, and they can tidy them up.
Yeah.
And the tidying up is always too obvious.
Bad.
It'd be a bit like if you went back to your house, and a friend had been looking after it for 3 days, and you went back and you went... This has been professionally clean. And they would go, not at all. You'd be like, what the fuck has happened here?
You've done it.
You notice it more than if you went,
had a party.
That fag burn there.
Yes.
You know, the reality is, when they get their chance, the WWE, they love to go, let's make this perfect.
Dick about,
and
they
never, ever succeed. They always
their idea
much
of perfect
worse.
Is not perfect.
Not at all.
No.
The one thing I took from this match is Asuka is one of the wrestlers who quickly took to the closed arena, the empty arena. And she was aware that in the silence, it was up to the wrestlers to fill it.
To fucking scream all the time.
Talking to the ref. I know. I know. She is so good at this. And what's really apparent is they put her on in the first match. Surprising first match, this. Normally, you'd always open up a big show with a guaranteed banger. You're setting the pace.
Yeah.
And certainly Asuka and Kairi Sane capable of putting on those great matches. It seems a little less likely that Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross are going to be those people where they go, that was as good a match as anything on the card. They have a okay match here together. I like Nikki Cross. I'm a big fan of hers. She's a Scottish performer, and the reason I really, really like her is because she doesn't fit that boilerplate template of what a WWE female performer should be. She is not 6 foot. She is not in high heels. She is not a fashion model. What she is a big personality, a good performer. She's got that sort of Tasmanian devil element to her. At the moment, she's got a quite divisive new persona, which is she is called Nikki A.S.H., which is Nikki Almost Superhero. And she wears a sort of thing like Molly Holly used to wear as Mighty Molly. She's got a superhero costume. They've just had her win Money in the Bank. And it's splitting people because it's very cartoony. Also, the Nikki A.S.H., so it looks like Nikki Ash. It doesn't mean anything.
No.
It's like English is your fourth language and this is what you come up with, you know.
It's like that broken English you get to see on like Japanese shampoos.
Exactly.
It's like, what does this mean?
Exactly that. But the thing I really love about her, and I think that that new gimmick is a step forward with this, is there will be a 8, 9, 10-year-old girl who is watching wrestling. And Nikki Cross is head and shoulders her favourite wrestler. And I love her in that role.
Yeah.
A lot of the time with wrestling, we forget that those characters that are sort of like, Eugene's not the best example, but it is nice, that idea that as a kid you would have a wrestler who you loved. What child's going to be into Kevin Owens?
No.
What child's going to be into Seth Rollins? You know, these inexplicable men with their sort of talk of like, you know, designer clothes. It's just weird. Or Kevin Owens with his, you know, big, like, he's very dedicated to his family. Kids are just like, what the fuck is, you know, give me a junkyard dog.
Yeah.
And I think Nikki A.S.H. is exactly what that should be. She's right. Always been that character, I think, that if you were a young kid, you'd be like, she is far and away my favourite. And I think, you know, more power to her. Good on her. This is the first time that a women's match has ever opened at WrestleMania as well. You know, quite historical. And the silence when Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss eventually win the belts, because there is no one there, it's weird. It's weird. They win it and Bliss doesn't quite know what to do, and they both get emotional, but then they're just two women crying in a warehouse, and it's being filmed, and
the Gronk's just walking up.
It just loses the drama, and it oddly looks, it's almost like everyone is like, I feel absurd. What am I doing? Absurd, there's no point doing this.
Well, there's a sort of sense that I sort of think, you know, there's a certain bit of throwing them to the bloody lions. It's like, that's the first show. I mean, look, they've earned their way into being part of that conversation, that who would have the broad shoulders to open such a show. But you'd know how the WWE kind of operates. It's like, oh, just get this out. Get the first one out of the way.
Absolutely. And then we can concentrate on building the proper show.
Yeah.
With her victory, Alexa Bliss became the first woman in the WWE to become a two-time holder of all of the women's titles that were available on the WWE roster. And she was also only the second person born in the 90s to win a title at a WrestleMania. The first was the previous year when Peyton Royce did it. Alexa Bliss, born 91. Peyton Royce, born 92.
Right.
So she's actually a lot better. it is what it is. It's a fine match. What it didn't feel like to me, it didn't feel like WrestleMania at all. And that is going to obviously be a big part of this WrestleMania, is it not feeling like WrestleMania. But that match didn't seem like anything that you wouldn't have seen on telly.
No.
On a SmackDown or a Raw. And I think, you know, in front of a crowd, weird decision to open a WrestleMania with that. It would have been very strange. We then have the second match, which is King Corbin versus Elias.
Was that before or after Sami Zayn's interview? Right.
It's after. Do you know what? I find it so depressing what has happened with Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro in this year. But I thought I'd save it all for one when we got to that other match.
All right, then.
There's not much to say,
Pete. Well, I just want to know why Sami Zayn is suddenly now Fidel Castro.
He's Fidel Castro. Don't ask questions, Pete.
Why is he Fidel Castro, Mark?
Why is he Fidel Castro?
Why is he Fidel Castro?
Because if you could be anyone, he's as good a man as you could choose. I think it's because, basically, Sami Zayn is playing a cocky heel. And I think if you're Vince McMahon, there is no sort of like cockier
Florida
heel.
Kind of heel than Fidel Castro.
Disgusting ribald heel than Fidel Castro. I think there was always a sense with Sami Zayn, they always sort of went, you've got to be deluded heel. Right. You think you're the best, you can't understand why the fans don't like you. Vince McMahon walking by would just go like, Fidel Castro, you know, the guy thinks he's the sunshine's out of his ass.
Like my accountant, this guy like that. The guy who fixed my TV. Arrogant.
This is they're called the Artists Collective, and just that thing as well. I bet Vince McMahon hates artists. Yeah. You know, artists, not a real job.
So they're like kind of like, '60s, '70s kind of like beatnik kind of like outsider artist kind of.
They don't fit in the mainstream because they refuse to get over, basically, is the thing. They've got that thing of all the fans like them and stuff, these rowdy, unruly fans not doing as they're told.
Yeah.
And I think there is a sense they put them together because they know they're good. The WWE, they know they're good, and they're just like, we haven't got a clue how to do this. We don't know what to do. We cannot get this right.
It's like driving a supercar. I don't know what is this a keyless entry? I don't know how to get in this car and turn it on.
Exactly. And look, I don't want to like have, you know, you don't want to start going my personal favourites. But the very fact that the next match is Elias versus Baron Corbin, and we couldn't find space on the main show for Shinsuke Nakamura, Cesaro. You know, the mind boggles. It's over two nights as well. Mm. Two nights, and they're like, well, Cesaro, you can do the opening, and Shinsuke, you're going to have so much fun pissing about in a match. Yeah. I say so much fun, you're going to do fuck all. but we'll pay you, so you'll be happy. You can carry on. What do you eat? Eels? I eat eels from the well. From the well, yeah. You've got a new well, have you? Yeah.
He's so nice.
He's very thin, like a needle. Yes. None of this surprises
needle
me.
Eels. I eat needle ears. Needle ears. Nakamura's
transparent.
Well.
Yes. This match was made by Rob Gronkowski. Oh, well, I couldn't hate it more. I could not hate this match more. Elias versus Baron Corbin on paper is the single least exciting WrestleMania match of all time. It's like with Corbin, it just feels like they are trolling you. That they are saying, we know you don't want to see him. You certainly don't want to see him against Elias.
No.
Well, look what we've got for you. and it's not going to be a quick 3-minute match. It's going to be a normal pace. And, you know, we'll give it about the same as we give Sami Zayn and Daniel Bryan. You happy with that? It's just awful.
I like the preamble where they're sort of showing why Corbin and they're fighting. I don't actually know why they're fighting, but certainly Corbin pushed him off the off a wall.
Yeah, the sort of gantry. That's the bit that Vince McMahon dropped himself off.
Of course,
to show Gronk
that
it was possible for a human to do it. There is a terrible bit in that little bit they show where Elias goes off and they have cut away. And because they've got this period of going, we're no longer filming it live, they let him fall to the floor, and then they show Baron Corbin looking over the top, and you know he's lying on the floor.
He's lying on the concrete.
Like, he landed on the concrete. It's like, no, it was a crash
mat. We heard the crash mat go.
Wrestling has to have an element of the magic trick in it. Mm. You can't just use jump cuts and things because it doesn't work. You might as well go, did you know that Brock Lesnar's new move is he can just reappear at will anywhere he wants? And you just go, stop the camera.
That's the Boneyard match, to be fair.
Yes. Yeah, stop the camera, stop the camera. Oh, look, he's on the turnbuckle. Stop it. He's over there.
Everyone close their eyes.
Yeah. It has to be able to work live if it's wrestling, as far as I'm concerned.
Ooh.
Wrestling is a live medium.
Mark, so, I've just suddenly got really excited about if you had the power in like a house show, 100 people over, you sort of got, right, 3, 2, 1, everyone close their eyes. Now open them. And he'll be in a different place going, doing.
Doing.
The Undertaker's somewhere.
Doing. It would be, yeah, bouncing around. I mean, I hate this match, Pete. Mm. I hate it.
I like it after the Corbin throws him off. Then the guitar chord kind of goes bong,
and it's like
he's back. Why is he back?
I mean, look, I hate this match. I don't despise both men in it.
Right.
I've got to say. When it's Elias, when I was, he was out there, I was like, oh, he's better than I remember.
Yeah.
You know, and
because he's doing something. He's not just playing his guitar.
Exactly. And, you know, he smashes the guitar over Corbin. Mm. And Corbin works hard. He's just... I just don't know whether it's the presentation. In the same way that people can, you know, the way that WWE choose to build people can make them seem like a huge star.
Mm.
Someone like Corbin, there's nothing I should actually dislike about him. But the way they presented him just makes me go, I don't want to see him. When he comes out, he's won the King of the Ring tournament at some point in the recent history. And he comes out wearing a T-shirt and his tights and a fur cape and a crown.
Yeah.
And it slightly had the look of... if you were on a Graham Norton show and they had a section where they made a celebrity dress up as a wrestler.
Yeah.
And it sort of had a look about that where I sort of go, this isn't really designed. This is all thrown together a bit. Both of them do wrestle in T-shirts as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is fucking indie level. You know, your main event, you know, your big stars just wearing T-shirts. Back in fucking Saudi Arabia. The only thing I can think is, you know, his last actually
got a big pair
of knockers under there and they cannot show them to the Middle East. He's got to stop this Jimi Hendrix kick of playing the guitar, says JBL. And Michael Cole has to, I don't know why he says it. He says, I like Elias playing the guitar. I think it's entertaining. A lot of people do too. Okay, good.
Yeah, we didn't need that. We disagree with it.
Yeah, they have a okay match. I mean, it's not WrestleMania worthy by any stretch of the imagination.
Like, there's moves where, you know, Cole says, has already said, we're second match in. On the actual pay-per-view, and he said, nobody's home, like seven times.
Yeah.
And you're like, nobody is home. We're in an empty arena. Stop saying that. I can't save COVID. So don't say nobody's home.
There is a nice bit where Corbin sort of shouts at the commentators along the lines of going, what do you think of that? Huh?
You better be talking about how good I am.
Yeah, and they both go, don't know how to react here.
They absolutely shit themselves.
So they just go, and it's quiet for a bit, and Corbin starts, and then Corbin sort of unlocked something, and he's like, wow, okay, that actually felt quite good. I like that. I feel like I'm advancing myself. So then he starts going over to the referee and starts going, that should have been a two. And the referee, who is the female referee's name escapes me at the minute, Jessica Carr, I think,
right.
She begins going, worry about the match, Corbin, don't you worry about me. And I was like, these two are great. I'm really enjoying that. But what it really shows up is that Elias, when he wins, doing a roll up, and again,
more lot of roll ups in this
there
kind
are,
of part of the WWE.
There are, and I think there's a sense of
it's
going
so devastating, isn't it?
We can't have people win, like, you know, emphatically,
yeah,
because they're always like, oh, so it's a sort of slip on a banana peel, basically. This pin does not work with no crowd because you need people to go surprise pin. When it's a surprise pin, you're just like, well, that was fucking out of nowhere. That was, I don't know what to say. Elias gets out of the ring and he's just staring back at Corbin.
Mm.
And Corbin is sort of going, you didn't beat me, you didn't beat me. And Elias, you can see just his eye flickering, going, shall I shout something back? I can't think what to shout. And so his mouth kind of goes, and he just, and when there's just two men in a warehouse, and one of them is going, you know, this isn't the last of it, you, I'm gonna, and the other one's just going, yeah, it just looked weird. It was more that you could see he was going, shut, I don't know.
Who did the empty arena match like back in the day that we did for
Jerry Lawler and Terry Funk?
And Terry
Jerry Lawler talks about how awkward he felt in that match, you know, about the silence, and he felt every noise he made was ridiculous. And I think Elias has got a touch of the Jerry Lawlers about him in that particular bit. I had a look quickly. Elias has actually released two EPs online. In 2018, he released Walk With Elias, and in 2020, Universal Truth. I think both went to number one on the iTunes soundtrack chart, which is amazing.
I do a podcast with a guy who is a resident in Japan, and he just, as part of one of his videos, he just did a song. He made a song with his mates and just put it, a bit of a joke, put it out. And because he's got a bit of a pull on Twitter and stuff, like he's top 20 in some of the indie charts and stuff.
Amazing.
Really funny.
I mean, it's
but it only cost him £20.
But that's
I'm
it.
Just saying.
That's it.
It doesn't take much to get worth, to it on the charts.
It's worth doing so
Let's
you can
it.
Say to your dad,
yeah,
you know, who's
top 50.
Oh, here I am at Christmas. I'm sitting with my mother-in-law. Well, and just dropping it in and going, and by the way, Gene. I had a number 16 hit this year.
Resume rock, resume roll, resume rock.
In the hole. A gronk, 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 a gronk, 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 gronk in the morning. The songs on his second EP, they were Amen, I'm Going In, Lead Me Home, Streetlight and Amazing Grace. Sounds like someone's a little bit tweaking towards the Christian market.
Yes, yes.
Amazing
definitely.
Grace, he set to the tune of The House of the Rising Sun. Right. Amazing Grace, how sweet thou art.
He's not going to make any money out of that, is he?
I think...
Is that out of copyright now?
One of them's out of copyright. House of the Rising Sun is an old 20s blues
riff.
Course, so it
yes.
may be older.
Right then, yes.
He does sound Smart. Very much like someone doing an impression of a horse rock star. It's not bad.
Right.
It's just you go...
Who is this for?
I mean, it got to number one on the soundtrack chart. It's for someone. Someone underneath the YouTube wrote, people that dislike this video does not have a soul.
Does not have a soul.
It's also not a video. It's a still picture. And you have the song. Match number three, Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler. Mm. Becky Lynch, Pete, has had an absolutely stellar year. She's really, really, really got herself over with her interviews. They are all great. She has found a way of getting out her personality, which is witty and quick and memorable turn of phrase.
Mm.
And she has done this really, really well in those promos. She, after years and years of trying, has finally found a character that clicks and she is able to really sort of invest in.
Mm.
And it's been a thrilling year to watch Becky Lynch, especially on the mic. She's going up here against Shayna Baszler. And Shayna Baszler is like the anti-Becky Lynch because she's not very good on the mic.
Mm.
She's brilliant in the ring, I think. A lot of people disagree. They find her a bit one-note and a bit too MMA, but I love that. I think it's a great style. And she has also always known what her character is.
Yeah.
She hasn't spent years doing little river dances or becoming cyberpunky from the year 1855, but... from someone who's come back from 3022.
She never got given the Horizon Zero Dawn gimmick.
She did not. She has always been a violent crippler. And that is a gimmick in wrestling that...
never goes out of fashion.
Never, ever goes out of fashion. And absolutely refuses to not get over.
Yeah.
I mean, she is very good at this. She looks and performs very, very differently from any other wrestler on the roster at this time. She had a background in MMA, and she'd been trained in shoot wrestling by the British legend Billy Robinson. He'd been a pro wrestler in the 70s and 80s in America, famous for being a big bully in the ring.
Right.
Took a lot of liberties, hurt a lot of people, refused to lose, became a legend in Japan because he was a legitimately great shoot wrestler.
Mm.
She did a bit of training with him, but she also did training under Josh Barnett, who is a UFC and MMA fighter and also a semi-regular pro wrestler. It was him who gave her the nickname the Queen of Spades, which she has here. She has that nickname for two reasons. One is because she was seen as being someone who could perform submission magic.
Mm.
She could get that submission on, you know, in amazing ways. But also because she genuinely loves doing card magic.
What?
She loves doing close-up card magic. So they called her the Queen of Spades. The WWE did a documentary about her a couple of years ago, and she also revealed she was a huge fan of Warhammer 40K.
Nice.
And heavy metal.
Fun.
And in 2013, she announced she was part of the LGBT plus community.
Mm.
She doesn't talk about it a great deal, and why should she? Her MMA career, she started off, she did sort of submission grappling shows, did some of the smaller MMA promotions, won some of their belts, and then she ended up in UFC. She was part of the Ultimate Fighter season that Ronda Rousey was the coach, and as friends, Ronda Rousey picked Shayna Baszler first. She was portrayed as being, you know, the unbeatable badass, and of course lost, I think, in her second match to Juliana Pena, I think it was. But she had a rocky UFC career. I think she lost, I think, if not all of her matches, most of them, apart from one in the Ultimate Fighter. And she decided to leave MMA with a 14-11 record and do pro wrestling. And really, no other female in WWE's women's wrestling has been portrayed for years as being a dangerous and violent shooter.
Mm.
The obvious one was Ronda Rousey, of course, was, but she was also a babyface. And so what you have with Shayna Baszler is someone who is just pure terror. And they even did a weird build-up to this where they have Shayna Baszler decides to bite the back of Becky Lynch's neck
is that
and, like, vampire her up. And there was loads of blood. Yeah. And it was fake blood, yes. You know, they didn't sort of go, you're going to do this hard way. Just going to bite onto the back of your neck while Gronk watches through a periscope. And she bites her in the back of the neck and there's blood. Blood is back.
Yeah.
Great. And you know, this is the angle they're doing. And they bring blood back, of course, because this is one of their marquee matches. It involves Becky Lynch. Mm. Do I look like prey to you, she says in a bit. She developed a new syntax of speaking. She would be all up and down, and yeah. It's actually really mesmerizing to listen to. I really enjoy it.
She keeps talking about her bones. Me bones!
You won't make old bones! That sounds like the sort of thing that one like American writer might have heard on a holiday in Ireland.
Yes.
He's jotted that down. I'm going to tear the living shit out of you, bitch, says Shayna Baszler. I had forgotten.
Swearing.
We'd brought back swearing for a bit. I had no recollection of that happening at all. A little bit later, you will hear Kevin Owens, I think. He uses a swear word.
Mm.
And I was like, I watched it on Sunday, and I was like, I cannot believe I forgot. We went through a bit where Shayna Baszler was like, I'm going to tear the living shit out of you.
Yeah. Why is that? Why is that?
Popped on Money in the Bank. They showed a little clip of Bobby Lashley in the last couple of years. He said to MVP, I'm tired of this bullshit.
Mm.
Oh, this ain't your daddy's WWE.
Well, we can't show crowds, but we can show F's and Jeff's.
There was talk when they moved to Peacock that Peacock said we would like to make this a little bit more
spicy.
Yeah,
right.
You know, let's raise it. And I think they were like, okay, well, button up, because Shayna Baszler is about to say shit.
Kevin Owens is about to call somebody a bitch,
a prick. He calls him. That's right. He says a prick. Oh, sorry. Remember, you said you wanted this to be spiced up. Don't suppose you saw old Kevin saying the P word, did you?
The Undertaker said dirty farts.
And
he was talking about Mexicans.
Sami Zayn said fuck a motherfucker. And then he got a gun and he shot someone. I do think that's probably pushing it a little far. Yeah, but Bobby Lashley with his bullshit. So I think swearing is now part of WWE canon.
Oh, it's that first episode of the second season of You Think You Should Leave, where the man goes on the ghost tour and he gets told yeah. it's not for kids, so he just gives him a cum shot.
Yeah, and horse penis. That always does feel like when South Park came along, I think there was a bit of a period there where they were very much like, yeah, where people got a bit giddy in WWE and everything would always be about sort of like, you know, suck my balls, you know, continually shouting that. I think we've entered the sort of the mild swear word period
yes.
in WWE now, where you can talk like real people do, you know, and you can say, I'm going to tear the living shit out of you, bitch. Again, I hear it in WWE and I'm like, great. If I heard someone saying that in real life to someone else, I'd be like, I don't know, I've got to call the police. It's horrible.
Are they going to start at the bottom half? Or the
tear
living shit?
The living shit. Awful.
The idea that there's shit inside that she has to tear at her to
and
get
it's
it
living.
Out.
Warm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Out comes Becky Lynch, pulls up 2 a.m.
Unwelcome.
In a suburban car park in a huge big rig truck.
Yeah.
She does the horn twice. That truck was due to be part of her entrance to the big stadium show had it not been changed by
COVID.
Clearly not refundable. 2 weeks out. they had to use it anyway.
Should we make sure we know that it's definitely pre-recorded because it's dark outside? It's just
out she comes. She beeps twice, silently walks out like a big wasted gesture. The only person who seems to have seen it is the cameraman.
Yeah,
she just comes out and it's like there is no one. Why would there be? It's 2:30 in the morning in the Orlando suburbs, the business district. It's heartbreaking. Lynch, by the way, worth saying, she looks absolutely incredible here. I mean, she doesn't look like, you know, if you like, what you'd think a female wrestler looks like. And that's unfair because, you know, there are many, many very beautiful women performing at a very high level in wrestling. What I sort of thought is, it's like she's had the greatest year financially of her life.
Mm.
And it's that thing where when people become rich, they stop worrying about things like, What am I going to have a nice house? Will I get some food in a month's time?
They look confident and relaxed.
All of the worry and anxiety is gone. And when you become rich, you just go, I now look like the best I can look because all the fear is gone. And without the fear, I am essentially a living angel. Out she comes looking, I mean, just the fucking business. They start off in this, they've made a big decision. And I think Becky Lynch is super aware that she is, if you like, the main event.
Mm.
They just start punching each other and there are great slappy noises that slightly show up the rest of the card as not really hitting each other.
Yes.
Bam. And Baszler starts doing these great kicks. She thump, thump, thump. But it is an uneven match for me, this. It was, I think a lot of people found it quite anticlimactic. They're not a good mix style-wise, really. I think, you know, people who come from that MMA background and transition to pro wrestling, they work a lot better with people who have got either a similar background or are so good at professional wrestling and chain wrestling that you can make it look far more legitimate and tight. And Becky Lynch, God bless her, is a pro wrestler. And so how she reacts in some of these bits is to go a little bit hammy. And so her bits where she is sort of like getting the arm, she will sort of over. It just doesn't gel well. Mm. It just doesn't gel well at all. Shayna Baszler also has to quite unconvincingly sell some of the stuff that Becky Lynch does to her.
Mm.
And Shayna Baszler, like a lot of those people who come from that legitimate sports background, is not quite so good at the emotion and the emoting side of wrestling. Style wise, it just is a bit of a jam. The whole thing. And it has a sort of weird ending. It just ends very unexpectedly, really. Lynch is in Baszler's sort of, what's it called? The Kiyofuta clutch, I think it is. And she does the classic Bret Hart, Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 8, where she just pushes back and she pins Baszler, who is unable to release the sleeper hole.
Yeah, and that kind of finish is like, it's a bit confusing.
It is. And it's another roll up. It's again, at WrestleMania, you have to put these rivalries to bed and someone has to come out as I was the victor, not as I won that one. Oh, but if we had another one, it could go exactly, you know.
Yeah.
You want definitive stuff at WrestleMania. It should be the end stop on the journey. And stuff like that is very much like, oh, you know, bad luck. Baszler really, really has to try hard to look, I can't believe, like I've lost my match here. But instead, she just looks a bit sort of sad and a bit like, ugh, God damn it, you know, tarnation. And between the two of them, the two things they need to do, Lynch, you know, push on the hard wrestling angle and Baszler do the emoting, you end up with something which is far less than I think people were expecting. Yeah.
Mm.
One of the things that did explain why the match wasn't quite what people had hoped for is that Lynch was pregnant.
Oh.
So she basically found out, I think, around that time, obviously private matter, no one's going to go into it, but it's largely believed that she was therefore the first pregnant woman ever to perform at a WrestleMania. A month later, she would give the women's title belt to Asuka, who had won the Money in the Bank. So instead of giving her a match for the belt, she just went, "You're the new champion."
Right.
I don't like people handing over belts. You
How
fight
often
for
does
belts
that
because more than you'd think. I mean,
right.
It's when they
it's
had
not
the
yours to give away. It's
exactly.
The,
you know, the company should just step in and go, "Well, that's all very nice, but I mean, absolutely nothing to do with you. We're going to talk to you about your contract, so you might need to get some legal representation because you can't just pull out." But there we are. But I hate that thing. It's cheapening belts, and what you have when someone goes, "You know what, I'm pregnant, I've got to give up the belt," you have a ready-made 2-month storyline there that has fallen in your lap, and instead you're just like, "Oh, just give it to another one and we'll just," you know, stupid.
Yeah.
stupid. It is worth saying, when I watched it back, Baszler kicks Lynch in the tummy a lot, and I did not like that. It made me feel genuinely uncomfortable watching it, and it is impossible not to watch it the whole way through, just going, baby, it's fine. She is obviously a professional. She is not going to do stuff that is going to put anything at risk.
Technically a tag team.
It was a handicap match. And Baszler should have won. Just a heartbreaking thing. That Baszler really had all of the wind knocked out of her sails, and had they really known that Lynch was not going to be around in
she
a month's time,
won, yeah,
she should have won it there. Lynch should have left and gone, "Well, I'm pregnant, and I'll see you in a year's time."
Yeah,
you know, and I'm going to beat the living shit out of you, Butch. She'd say, but yeah,
me bones are pregnant.
God bless everyone.
God bless everyone
who listened to this show.
What are you trying to get a slice of the Christian market?
I don't want to. It's not. Look, I don't think it's a bad thing to do.
No.
Wouldn't it be good if this turned out the whole time that actually it is a Christian podcast? We're like Insane Clown Posse.
Yes.
Are they people in?
Are they technically part of that, are they?
Yeah, all of our songs actually had very big Christian values because we're actually hardcore, born-again evangelical Christians.
But the Juggalos are like, but they've got their own kind of like church, effectively.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be doing that, surely?
Well, look, there's only one church, and I mean, obviously you're pushing it to... The important thing is, when we finish WrestleMania, this is a full-blown, mad Christian podcast.
Yeah.
But it's quite a weird sect that is an awful lot of sex.
Surprising. Between us, really. And you just have to watch it.
Well, we're the only two in it. You're going to have a blast. Respect is due. Look, we've got a live show coming up. It's going to be on the 7th of September, 2021.
Saturday night wrestle. I like the way you move.
Literally Saturday night's main event. Although there is, I think, one at the same time in a bigger hall. So that technically would be the... we're very much the thunder to that night.
Stack podcast, Clash of the Titles, going to be coming on after us. Not sure it's the same place.
After?
I think so, yeah.
I hope there's no like overlap.
I mean, that
would be a disaster.
What, a Zayn running?
Yeah.
And Alexi Zayn running?
I mean, it just, you know, look, there are lots of people there and there's lots of people competing for people's entertainment dollar. The last thing we need is to run shows against our own shows. This is a living nightmare. I've just got this piece of paper. It says that, no, that's cancelled.
It's cancelled.
That's cancelled. So you just come to ours. It's not. Go and see that as well. Look, if you're coming down, we are going to absolutely shit our pants to see you. We'll have a lot of biblical tracts for you to read.
Yes.
We're gonna have to get some more people in to have sex with.
I'll be doing some stand up about my thoughts about the parables and stuff.
Good. And I've got some quite racy stories that I'm gonna read involving Becky Lynch and Joseph of Arimathea. So until then, wrestle me!
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.